Well, as we turn our attention to the preaching of God's word tonight we come to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Let's hear now. This is the living word of God, Psalm 55. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove! I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is their dwelling and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old. Selah. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray and seek his blessing. Our Lord, as we come before you tonight and hear from your word, we give you thanks for your truth. And Lord, we pray that you would be at work in us, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And may you, Lord, be with my mind and my mouth, that I might think and speak clearly this evening. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we move through this psalm, we come to verse 13 as we read, "But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." We have here in this psalm a psalm that calls us to cast our cares on the Lord, to cast our burdens on him. And although we don't know the exact historic setting in which David wrote this psalm, we can see that in verse 13, we can see who it is pointing to, of one who is the son of David, whose close friend, whose companion, lifted up his heel against him and betrayed him. The psalm points us to the suffering that our Lord endured for us. And it also points us to what we are to accomplish, what we are to do, the path that we are to take. When we find ourselves in situations where it seems like we are enduring enemies from without, but also dealing and struggling with our own enemy within, the burdens that we at times carry sometimes can seem overwhelming and heavy. And so the psalm reminds us to cast those burdens on the Lord and to trust in Him. Now, as we consider that application, we'll be looking at it in 4 points. First of all, verses 1-8, David's plea for mercy. Secondly, David's foes are all around in verses 9-15. Third, God's sure deliverance and comfort in verses 16-21. Then lastly, this call to cast your burden on the Lord and trust in Him. So we have in verses 1-8, in the opening of the psalm, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily." These verses are, in a sense, almost a call to attention. Now, as we consider this call to attention as David begins this psalm, you know, are we to think that somehow God was not listening to David? Or somehow that God needed rousing, that He somehow needed to be stirred awake, much like Elijah mocks, years after David writes this psalm, mocks the prophets of Baal to yell louder because their God may not hear them. Well, no, that's not what we're to take from this psalm. God always has His ear turned towards His people. This is one of the sure promises that we have, that He is close by, that He is near to us, and He has a ready ear. So what are we to learn from the opening of this psalm and psalms like it, which we begin in a similar voice that is being proclaimed here, a cry, calling God to rise or to give ear? It speaks more to the desperation in which the psalmist finds himself in than the anything that God Himself may or may not be doing. It sets the tone for the desperation with which the psalmist finds himself in. That he is in such a state that he is crying out with such a noise, a moaning, as he says here. That he is using all of his energy, all of his exertion to cry out to God that he would be heard. He is restless in his complaint, and he moans noisily. And the reason that he is given here is because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. "For they bring down trouble upon me in wrath, and in wrath they hate me." Whoever David's enemy may be in this situation, we could picture our Lord Jesus Christ contemplating and singing of this psalm in the knowledge and understanding of Judas going to the authorities and handing him over. In verse 4 and following, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overshadowed me." But then he says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander off, remain in the wilderness." Now, David here in this situation, I'm sure we could all empathize with in some degree in finding ourselves from time to time in a situation where we just kind of want to leave it behind. Where we consider the situation before us and we think it would be easier if we were just to flee in some way. Just to turn and to leave it behind and to go. This is in the sense of what David is considering. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. I would just fly away to some remote, deserted place and not have this situation or this difficulty around me any longer." Now, as we consider such words, this isn't a sign of weakness or cowardice on the part of David. These verses can be an encouragement to us, because do we not also at times find ourselves in those types of situations? We are not alone in our fears. We are not alone in our troubles. God in his wisdom has given us such a psalm where we have here expressed such a desperation that one, we're crying out to God, trying to rouse him to action, but also expressing how we just want to leave the situation. We just want to set it behind and not deal with it. Well, as we consider these opening verses, we can take comfort in knowing that we are not alone in those experiences. We are not alone in our fears. But we can also learn of where to turn to in these instances. When we do have trouble, we're not to just run away from those instances, but we are to look to the one who is with us, who does hear, and is always at our right hand. We're to turn to the Lord in the midst of those fears. Secondly, in verses 9 to 15, David gives some more explanation of what he's experiencing. We have here, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets." Now the city that is being spoken of here in the destruction that David is experiencing is in the violence is in relation to the city of God itself. This is Jerusalem that he's speaking of here. And we can see here how tongues that are not controlled, tongues, as James says, are like a spark that sets a forest ablaze, or like a small rudder that steers a ship. Whispers and spreading, "Did you hear this? Did you hear that?" can bring ruin and destruction in the midst of the city of God, the church. There are many churches that have been brought to ruin because of loose tongues. And that's the situation that David is concerned about here and is worried. It is enemies in the sense without, they're kind of abroad in the city, but it also comes to, again, an enemy that is close at hand. In verses 12 and following, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor it is one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." You know, David earlier talked about how the one who was the voice of his enemy, the one who was oppressing or the oppression of the wicked, that they were seeking to bring trouble down upon him because in wrath they hated him. But here, as he's giving a greater explanation of what's really going on, he says in verse 12, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I can bear it. It is not one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance, or my friend." Now we could look at these two verses as in some way contradicting one another. But really, although David here in verse 12 and 13 is giving a recounting of the source of this trouble, back in verse 3 really gives us the truth of the heart of the matter. Verses 12 and 13 are giving us the setting in which this trouble began to take place. It was from someone who was trusted, someone who was a friend and a companion, a close acquaintance, someone that he loved and someone that he thought loved him. Verse 3 is looking back on the situation, reflecting on it, seeing how the actions of this individual prove that, in fact, he did not love David, but it was hatred that they had towards him. This is, in these verses, we see both enemies without, kind of in the city doing damage, but also, in a sense, an enemy close at hand. And these can be some of the most hard trust and breaches of faith that we can endure. Of those that are to be closest to us, those that are to be the ones that we thought that we loved and that they loved us, to have their betrayal can be a pain and a wound that would last for a lifetime. You know, as we consider kind of the two situations here, one, the source of the problems being one close at hand, but then the effect of seeing the violence and the destruction and the ruin that is caused in the broader context of the city or the church. Again here, there is the close, an appeal to God. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is their dwelling and among them. Now, does this mean that anyone who crosses our path or does some malicious thing to us, that we should immediately go to God and ask God to let death seize them, to let them go down alive into hell, and for their wickedness is their dwelling and among them? No, that's not what we are to be praying. Again, in the context here of a friend and a companion who betrays, we have clearly pointed to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas, one who was truly his friend, one who was truly a companion, betrayed him with a kiss, this sign and the symbol of close, intimate friendship. Now, as we consider this request here, and it's pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus has a full understanding of the hearts of human beings. We don't. But what we can learn from this is, again, who we are to go to if we find ourselves in the midst of such difficulty and hardship. This is a prayer to God. And he alone is the one that we are to go to. Instead of praying that our enemies might go down to hell or be destroyed in this way, we could pray that in God's mercy they might be turned and broken and truly become our brother or sister. But this is a situation that we find ourselves in, as David finds himself in, of turmoil that is, in a sense, without but also within, stemming from a broken trust of a close relationship. The rest of this psalm gives us kind of God's answer and deliverance to David's prayer. In part 3, we have God's sure deliverance and comfort in verses 16 to 21. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save. And then in verse 17, we have the urgency with which, patterned for us, evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. The various portions of the day, throughout the day, praying. We have this even in the life of Daniel exhibited to us in Daniel 6, chapter 10, as we're shown his pattern of praying, you know, three times during the day, even when he's commanded not to. This isn't just some rote pattern of, well, I'll pray this time and this time and this time, and then I'll be good. I'll check my boxes and I will be good. This rather gives to us the urgency with which to go to God, this level of desire to see God's will done and for him to heed your call. But in coming to God, first of all, know the assurance with which we can go to God. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. As we go to God in prayer in the midst of trials and difficulties, as we go to him with our burdens to cast them before him, we have confidence and we know full well that the Lord will hear and the Lord will save. God is one who desires to do good to those who trust in him. He desires to hear the cries of his children, and he will give answer. He will save. Now, as we consider that type of saving, some of the burdens that we have, maybe it's a terminal disease, maybe it's some other type of hardship. We may cry out to God with fervency and true faith and trust, and he may decline to remove that illness, or to remove that hardship. But he will still give us peace in the midst of it. It's not necessarily God's answer to remove the difficulty that we are enduring, but to carry us through it, even if we never leave it the rest of our lives, to give us peace in the midst of it. And we have that pictured for us in verse 18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Now, ultimately, this points to the peace that we have in Christ. And the battles that we wage, the spiritual warfare that we wage, it is Christ who has won the victory. It is God who has won the victory through Christ, and that he has brought us to peace with himself in redeeming our soul from death. He has given us victory over the battle that was against us, for there were many against me. And then we have this confidence again that God will hear, he who abides from old. Now, as we consider, brothers and sisters, these words, we can learn that God is truly fighting our battles. In the book of Exodus, as the people of God were up against the Red Sea and they saw the armies of the Egyptians marching towards them, and they cry out in terror because they see nothing but the water before them, and now they have the army of the Egyptians coming and they're going to die here in this wilderness. And Moses calls the people not to worry about the army coming. He says to be still, for God is the one who fights for them. He is the one who fights for us. And without God fighting for us, there is no hope that we will win. He is the one who wins the victory. He is the one that secures the victory. And he does this through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can also see here in the great trial that David went through, in this call upon God, that really the greater trial that we experience, the greater time we need in prayer. If there is a time where we are feeling overwhelmed and burdened beyond measure, we may be tempted in some way to lessen time in prayer, but really we need to go to God more, and we need to trust in him more, laying that burden at his feet. Now, in doing that, it isn't that through our many prayers we will somehow turn God's will to match our own and our own desires. But as we feel the burden and the weight of such trial and turmoil, by going to God in prayer and spending more time with him in prayer and in his word, we will be comforted through that time with him. We will be encouraged in the midst of that struggle by spending time with him. He is the one who comforts us. He is the one who delivers us. And if we find ourselves with burdens that are too heavy to bear, we are to go to him and to seek his help. This leads us to the last couple of verses. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, as we consider these verses, what a comfort verse 22 is. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Another way we could translate the word moved is to translate as the word shaken. Now, as we consider the idea of being shaken or being moved, this ultimately points us to the sustaining hand of God in preserving us to the end. It speaks to the surety of his work in us and what we call the perseverance of the saints. If you find that your burdens are so high above you, or any burden at all, however small, to cast your burden on the Lord. It is he who will sustain you. His strength is immeasurable. He can actually carry those burdens when we cannot. But in this never being moved, it doesn't mean that we won't be in some way fearful. It doesn't mean that we won't in some way feel anxiety and the stress and the pressure of such burdens as we face them. But the confidence and the comfort that we have in this verse is that God himself is in control of these situations, and he will not allow those who are his to be shaken or to be moved. That means to be moved away from him, to turn from him. Consider the sovereignty of God in the midst of your burdens, in the midst of what is weighing over you, no matter the source. Is it not a comfort to know that God shall never permit the righteous to be moved? He is the one who decrees, and he is the one who says, this shall happen and that shall not happen. And as we consider the promises that God has made, this is a promise that he has made, that he will never permit you to be moved. If you are his tonight, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a promise for you and for me. We looked at Romans 8 this morning, and how from all of eternity, those whom he foreknew, he predestined, and those whom he predestined, he justified, or he called, and those whom he called, he justified, and those whom he justified, he glorified. That golden chain of salvation from beginning to end, God's choosing all the way to its the glorification of his people that we haven't experienced yet. It is good as done, because God is the one who decrees. God is the one who says, this will happen and that won't happen. And concerning you and me, his people, those who trust in him, he has declared, you shall never be moved. And that is not because we're strong enough. That's not because we are good enough. Child of God, it is because God is your heavenly Father and he has decreed it to be so. And that is the comfort that we can take in knowing that the love that God has for us is the love that will sustain us. But as comforting as verse 22 is, there is also a terror in verse 23 for those who don't know Christ. The psalm ends with a warning to those who reject God. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. This too is a promise, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. And what is that pit of destruction? It is the same pit that was mentioned earlier of let them go down alive into hell. This is what is referred to in scriptures as the pit of destruction. It is where both body and soul are consumed for all of eternity in hell. I recently saw a video from R.C. Sproul that was along the same lines of a truth that I reminded us of as well concerning hell, that Jesus says that in hell there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when we consider the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, you know, the weeping part, there will be those in hell, as the Lord says, in that day of judgment, they will cry out, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. Lord, when did we see you naked and in prison and hungry and not help you?" And he will say to those, even though they cry out, "Lord, Lord," he'll say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so there will be weeping in hell. When the realization of people still in their sins, and they thought they were the Lord's, but yet they still clung to their own sins and rebellion against him, and they'll weep, and they'll mourn, and they'll lament for all of eternity. But then there will be those in the pit of destruction that will be gnashing their teeth. And this in Scripture is the symbol of someone who is angry at someone else. When you're so angry with someone and you just gnash your teeth at them. So there will be those who for all of eternity will gnash their teeth at God and say, "How dare you, God, put us here?" That is the pit of destruction. For all of eternity being consumed by the lake of fire that God has prepared for Satan and all those who follow him. The lake of fire in which you will never be quenched. Where there will be weeping and there will be mourning for all of eternity. And there will be anger and hostility and wrath towards the holy God for all of eternity. This is the end of all those who do not trust in God, who do not trust in Christ. Going back to verse 19, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. We can only be changed through the work of God in us and giving us a new heart, of giving us desires that love him, that long for him, that desire the things that he desires, that want the things that he wants, and that despise and hate the things that he despises and that he hates. Let us pray to our Lord that we would be in the category of verse 22. Trusting in him, casting our burdens on him, having him sustain us, never being permitted to be moved. If you have not trusted in Christ, sadly, you are in this category of verse 23. Heed now this warning that the psalm ends with. Let the day be the day of your salvation, and do not go down to the pit of destruction on the day of the Lord. This psalm is a situation that we might find ourselves in, a situation where really the sum of it is that burdens rise so high in our life that we feel overwhelmed, we feel the anxiety, the stress, and the pressure, and at the end of the day, what we want to do is we want to run away from it. We want to escape it and get away from it. Here, this psalm points us in a different direction. That instead to cast those burdens on the Lord. Not running away from them, but casting them to the Lord, praying for his help, praying for his aid. He may not remove the source of those burdens from us, but he will give us peace. And he will give us comfort in the knowledge that we will never be moved because of his grace towards us. And so, brothers and sisters, cast your burdens on the Lord and trust in him. Amen. Our Lord, we give you thanks for being our God who hears our prayers, who is close at hand. We thank you, Lord, that you have an ear turned towards us, and we pray that when our burdens are overwhelming us, that we, Lord, would turn them to you, that we would give them to you, and that you may not remove the source of those difficulties, but yet, Lord, we know that you are our God, you will give us peace, and that you will sustain us. Lord, may you continue to uphold us by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.